Hello and welcome to the Dancecast, where I explore dance as an art form, traveling to non-traditional places and with non-traditional doers. I'm your host and my name is Silva Lakkonen. Hey guys, I cannot believe it's episode 7 on my Dancecast. It has been wonderful to talk to all these different people about their work around the United States, and I can't wait to introduce you my today's guest. His name is Wayne M. Smith, a native and current resident of Memphis, Tennessee, who is a choreographer, performance artist, improviser, and professor of dance in the theater arts field. As a creative art professional and collaborator with a multifaceted skill set, Smith has produced numerous works in diverse settings in dance, theater, and visual art, and does community outreach to diverse groups. He produces work independently under the auspices of his company, SmithWorks, producing conventional performances as well as site-specific works, and is also part of Memphis-based professional contemporary modern dance collective called Project Motion. Through the years, Smith has taught, collaborated, and improvised extensively at a number of reputable institutions, such as University of Mississippi, Oxford, Emory University, and Spelman College, both in Atlanta, Georgia, and Kent State University, Kent, Ohio, and Slippery Rock University at Slippery Rock, Pennsylvania. Currently, Smith regularly performs, does community outreach, and conducts workshops with Playback Memphis, an audience interactive improvisational movement-based theater company. And in addition to teaching and choreographing with Memphis's unique dance company, Company D, Youth Development Organization for Young Dancers with Down Syndrome, Smith holds an MFA degree in dance from The Ohio State University, Columbus, Ohio, and a BFA degree in theater and dance concentration from the University of Memphis, where he currently teaches. I hope you enjoy this episode with Wayne. Hey, Wayne, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you located? What is your background?
Okay, yes, I am located in Memphis, Tennessee. And I have several jobs. I'm a dancer, choreographer, actor. I have several jobs. I work adjunct. My big job is that I work adjunct at the University of Memphis. I teach in the theater and dance department. I teach primarily contemporary dance, dance improvisation, as well as a dance appreciation class, and other classes as they come up, whatever the needs are in the department. But I also work with a couple of organizations here in Memphis. I work with Company D, which is a dance company directed by Darlene Winters. And it's a unique dance company. The dancers in the company all have Down syndrome. And they train as professional dancers, and they do one big concert per year, as well as several smaller performances. And I teach classes at their studio. They have a studio here in Memphis. And I teach contemporary classes for them pretty regularly. I also work with Playback Memphis, which is a theater company, an improv-based theater company. Playback is actually a franchise, for lack of a better way to describe that. The original Playback was started out of New York City by, it was co-founded by several folks, but a couple of the main characters with Playback out of New York is Jonathan Fox and, her name just popped out of my head, Salas. Joanna Salas. The original Playback started, I believe, somewhere in the late 70s. But out of that, many Playback companies have become established. about the world in. And the unique thing about Playback Theater is that it's an improv theater company that works in collaboration with audiences. And we basically have people in the audience telling us, the performers in Playback, their personal stories, stories that are meaningful to them, sharing parts of their lives, directed by, the Playback Memphis, director of and founder of Playback Memphis is Virginia Murphy. Failed to mention that. So she acts as our conductor for our performances. And so she asks audience members questions, and we basically reenact what they tell us on the spot. We don't work with the script or anything like that. So out of Playback, though, we do several outreach programs. And when I met you, Silva, at the Texas Dance Improv Festival. I know, TNT.
Yeah. And not only TNT, but T&E.
Yes. So yeah, that the work that we have been doing of late, it's 2.5 years, going on 3 years old with Playback. We've been doing this off-shoot program, or an outreach program called Performing the Peace, where we work with Memphis, some of the Memphis police officers, as well as work in conjunction with a reentry program for guys and women who have been incarcerated called Lifeline to Success. And it's been very successful. In fact, just last week, we had another new group to form. It's we have new performers that come into this program every year since we've been doing it. And so we have some new inductees that I just met last week, and we did a Playback performance for them. So in that performance, the guys who are in the reentry program met the police officers for the very first time, and got to share their stories and their, and what was so amazing about that experience is that you have guys who have been incarcerated sharing stories about how they grew up, and they hear similar stories from the police officers talking about some of the struggles of their lives and how they grew up. And what they realize is that they have a lot more in common than they think.
Yeah, I'm sure. How long is the process with the police officers and the incarcerated or previously incarcerated men from the beginning to the end?
Yeah, from beginning to end. It's a, maybe I should, I always think of my life, since I teach primarily at the university, I think of my life kind of segmented in semesters. So it's very easy to have that academic schedule. So Virginia starts doing interviews with both potential police officers as well as Lifeline members at the beginning of September, or the middle part, no, more the middle part of September.
Okay, so these people, you have to be chosen to become part of this project.
Correct.
I see.
What Virginia has found with this program, in order for it to be successful, is that everyone involved has to be pretty much on board with the process and be willing to be open. I remember her saying something about, in the early days of it, she had some folks on both sides who were not just willing to be open and vulnerable. You have to be. This work requires one to be vulnerable in the rehearsal process, basically.
Yeah, and I guess with that, there is also a motivation.
Yes.
And so that, and through that motivation, you're open to become vulnerable. But that motivation is probably a very key in the success.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's difficult because you're sharing like personal things and sometimes personal trauma from the past comes up, and it's made very clear in the workshops that happen. I mean, they're very similar. This is what we do, us in the playback company, the performers. In our rehearsals, we share our own life stories. And so it has to be made clear that it's a safe space in which to do that. And, you know, and there has to be a certain willingness on the part of the participants to be ready and willing to go there. Virginia has a really, she actually has a real specific approach to her interview process that's based on some of the reading that she's been doing. I can't quote or I can't remember any of the authors that, but I can get that that bibliography for you if you want to, if you care, if you are curious. Because I asked her about that, I said, where are you getting your questions from for these interviews? And she told me once where it all comes from. But at any rate, it's like a marriage of sorts. you know, you have to make sure that the people who are in the program are gonna benefit the most. And she doesn't look for people who are 100% willing. I mean, you know, what also is amazing is people who have the potential to grow in the program, in the process. So, and as I said, I'll go back to your original question. So you asked, what's the process? So around middle part of September, the interviews start. And then she has workshops that happen separately with the police officers and with the Lifeline folks.
So you first work separately with each group?
Correct. Yes. So she has them to interact with each other in their own group, so to speak, their own cultures. Tribes. Yeah, I'll call them tribes. Yeah. So then once they become comfortable with their sharing in their own tribes, then they have a come together session, which is that performance that I mentioned that we did last weekend. So what we do, the performers in playback, we come in and we do a playback performance for the police officers and the Lifeliners who have come together for the first time, and we play their stories back so they understand how it all culminates and how it can culminate into a performance. Plus, they get to share their personal stories and their experience about the playback process. Also, they share about their lives, and everyone gets to hear about everyone's process. It's I'm trying to come up with other words other than just amazing and wonderful and things like that. But it's very moving emotionally. One of the police officers, I mean, he was this big, burly guy, and he talked about how oftentimes people look at him and they just see him as his job, you know, a cop. And he talked about how doing some of the work in playback, he felt like he was able to connect with his humanity and him being human, that he's more than just his job. And he got very emotional about it. And of course, you know, as performers, we play his reaction, his story back. And it's very hard for me not to be moved and emotional while I am retelling, reenacting his story. But then it's interesting because it moved one of the Lifeline folks, a woman actually, who talked about how she was used to keeping up a wall and not showing her feelings and not crying in public. And so she shed tears and she said that if this cop can show his emotion, she said that she could show her emotion too. So and then we played her story back.
Wow, yeah.
It was emotional all over again.
Yeah. Wow. So do you have other audience in this, or is this privately only for the police officers and the Lifeliners?
It's a small invitation only audience for this first meeting. Basically, it's some of the people we work out of a church, First Congregational Church, which is a very liberal church. So some of the members of the church were there. One of the at upper administrators at the police academy was also there. They've been so supportive of this program. And the director and his wife of Lifeline to Success, they were there as well. And some of the other Lifeliners who have either been in the program before or have not been in the program, a few of them were also there in attendance to this first meeting slash performance.
And then when do you go from here? When they see
So
this
yeah, so I was just going to
performance?
say, so what happens
Mm.
after that? So this week and next week, the Lifeliners and the police officers have been in their own performances together as a group. So the Lifeliners and the cops are all in the studio doing some of the theater exercises and rehearsals. Like us in the company, what we do, and they are learning how to collaborate and partner with each other in those rehearsals. So what the next step will be, and more than likely this will happen somewhere in the next semester, there will be a performance where the Lifeliners and the cops will perform together for an audience, and this will be open to the public. I know, and that's a huge, big step. But would have been by that time there would have been a number of rehearsals and gradual steps to get to that ultimate.
Yeah, and so how many, this is your third time seeing this cycle going through.
Yes. This
And
is
what
the
are
third.
the experiences from the final performances before? Can you talk about that a little bit? Like any audience comments or any participant comments from after the final performance when the Lifeliners and the police officers perform together?
Yeah, usually everyone in the audience is just completely, as you can imagine, just blown away. So many people just, first of all, can't believe that we're doing this kind of work in Memphis. Yeah, and a little bit of history of Memphis. I mean, Memphis has had a lot of very challenging racial history. A lot of, and even still now, it tends to be there's a substantial African American population here in Memphis, and so some of the racial divide and segregation still happens here. I mean, on some levels, it's not as bad as it was, back in the 60s and 70s, but nonetheless, but there's still some of that dynamic that is here. And so that said, another thing, because, oh, the other thing that Virginia is very specific with is she recruits people in the program who are diverse, who are ethnically diverse.
Yeah, and also it sounds like gender diversity.
Yes, gender and ethnic diversity as well. Yeah.
That is amazing.
Because it's important. It's important for the audience to see that. And yeah, and they are just very moved that, that we're, like I said, that we're doing this kind of work in Memphis. Yeah, the responses have been overwhelmingly positive. And as I said, even the police chief here in Memphis is extremely supportive of the program. And he has actually, some of the police officers who went through this program the very first time are part of the Memphis police training. And as part of the overall training for the Memphis Police Department, those officers who participated in performing the piece come in and talk about interacting with people from different cultures. So basically diversity training within the Memphis Police Department. So it's starting to have an effect on how the training of the police officers are happening here in Memphis.
So do you use a lot of movement exercises in this, or is this basically just spoken word?
It's movement and words. The way Virginia describes playback is that it is basically theater movement as well as spoken word.
I see, okay. Nice.
Yeah, I mean, it's not full on dance, although a couple of the members in the company of playback art, like myself, we are dancers. And sometimes we are inspired when people share their stories to also use more movement than words. But, oftentimes I try to do a dance in there somewhere.
Good, keeping the movement in part of it.
Yes. And the actors, I have to say, the one, I call the actors in the company, they are very open to doing movement. In fact, many of them voice a desire to do more movement practice in our rehearsal when we because we have twice a month, well, if we can. Sometimes schedules don't permit, but we meet together as playback professionals. We meet twice a month, and in some of those rehearsals, Virginia has had me or one of the other dance person people, Holly Lau, to lead some kind of an improv-based dance warm-up or some kind of activity to get people more physical in their bodies.
That's great. So how often does these police officers and lifeliners meet when they are in this process? What is the frequency? Do they also meet twice a month?
Actually, for the beginning of it, they're actually meeting. They're meeting quite a bit. They're meeting twice a week. So right now they're meeting on Mondays and Wednesdays. And that will go on. I'm not sure how long what the duration of that frequency is. And then the next step, they'll just only meet like once a week, once a week, and then it'll dwindle down to once a month.
I see. I see. And is there what happens after the final performance? That sort of graduation and then.
Yeah, actually, so what happens after the final performance in terms of, the what do you call that when you it's like it's like it's one of those things the thing that keeps coming to mind is like the debutante ball that when you show the world, your new trainees and inductees into the program. So some of them continue even now when we do because playback we do public performances once every other month. This is general performances for the community. And some of the police officers, when their schedule permits, they will make appearances in the shows, and some of the lifeliners will make appearances in the show. So this is like an ongoing thing for them. If they're willing to, they can step into some of our shows that we do for the
Oh,
general public.
that's great. So you keep on providing that environment the playback theater for them
Yes.
after even this process is done.
Exactly.
That is great. That is absolutely because that is already a existing community and that they can be
Yes.
just become part of. So tell me about Company D. How did you get involved with Company D?
So, Darlene Winters, I worked with her in the sort of past. I don't know, distant past. Is early 90s the distant past? I don't know. It's hard to say.
It depends, I guess, who you ask.
Right. Depending on who you ask. So yeah, back then there was a program here in Memphis, part of the Center for Arts Education. We did a lot of arts and schools programs. And at that time, I don't think Company D had been founded yet. But Darlene has a background in speech pathology, and I am not sure how she began to connect with parents that had youngsters with Down syndrome, but some kind of way it culminated into her pulling together a group of kids around the same age at that time and started teaching them dance training. This was before, so while Darlene was doing all of this, like I said, I met her when we were doing arts and schools programs here in Memphis. Then I taught in other places. I lived in Atlanta for a good number of years, and I taught up in Pennsylvania at Slippery Rock University, and then I taught for a year at Kent State University. And eventually I made my way back to Memphis. And so Company D had been established, and they were doing as they do now, they do, like I said, a big performance every spring. And Darlene, upon learning that I'd come back to Memphis, this was back in 2008, she invited me to come to a Company D performance. And at that time, I had no idea who Company D was and what they did, et cetera. And then I saw them perform, and I was just amazed and mesmerized by them. And we talked after the show, and she invited me to come and teach. They have a summer, they do every summer they do a summer intensive, a 2-week summer intensive. And she wanted me to teach contemporary dance to the Company D dancers, which was, at that time, it was more or less of a stretch for them because she mostly her background is in jazz, specifically Luigi jazz. But mostly they have been, up to that point, they had been doing ballet training and a very specific style of jazz training. And so they had not had very much or any modern training at all. So I came in, and she had me come in actually before I started doing the intensive. She had me come in and just do a workshop before then, just so that I could see what it's like to teach kids with Down syndrome. And as I say kids, well, they are still kids to me. They're really, these, most of them are college age kids. They're like in their 20s. Some are in their early 20s, some are in their later 20s, et cetera.
So are these the same children that you saw?
Yes.
So she has kept the same, the company has stayed with the same people.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. Wow. Okay. So there has been just like a long history with the same children growing up with dance and performing.
Exactly.
Wow.
And here of late, she has recruited some new youngsters, and she has some young teenagers. So we have like three 13 and 14-year-olds. You know, parents who have kids with Down syndrome will hear about what Company D is doing, and they contact Darlene, and she just says, okay, yeah, have them come to class, and they come in and take company classes. And the company is still growing. In fact, we had a conversation night before last that there needs to be two of her because she's now at a point where she's having to kind of turn people away, which is kind of sad. Because she can only do so much, and you know, I teach there and she teaches. There's like a couple of other people that teach in the program, but you know, we just can't accommodate anymore. I mean, it'd be great if we could accommodate everybody that wants to come.
Yeah, absolutely. And you cannot, there's also like age range. You cannot have a 5 and a 20-year-old working constantly together. Of course, they can work together, but not constantly, maybe.
Yeah. So, and most of the kids that come, I have to say, even the new kids that come in, I think there might be a cutoff in terms of how young. So I think 12 or 13 is the cutoff.
So how often Company D rehearses?
Wow, Darlene has them scheduled quite a bit. They take class and rehearse Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Oh, okay.
So the 4 days during the week, and then if they have shows, because they often do, they get asked to do performances all over. So they often do their rehearsals on Saturdays. Yeah.
And have you been involved with them since that 2008?
Oh, yes. Since then, since I did that first summer intensive, which proved to be very successful, they responded really well to my, both stylistically, my movement. I have to say that in terms of contemporary or modern dance, my background is primarily in terms of modern technique. Jose Limon.
Oh, I love it. My favorite technique.
Aha! Yeah, so they have, you know, I'm getting them into, they know how to do body swings and triplets across the floor. That's still, sometimes specific rhythmic things are challenging for them. But I push them nonetheless. And I've been working with them since the summer of 2009, actually.
Oh, wow. And you still do the summer intensives?
Still, yeah. In fact, I right now I teach a Tuesday class. Darlene has enough guys in the program where she actually has set up like a men's class. So I teach a men's class on Tuesdays.
Wow.
And these guys are getting so good. Oh, my God. I'm so excited because eventually it's going to culminate into me choreographing a piece on them.
That is amazing. How many people are in Company D in total?
Okay, so let's see. The guys, there are eight or nine. There are nine of them. Yes, there are nine guys. And then the women, there are more women than men. I want to say there might be 12 or more, or 12 or 13 women, girls, you know. Yeah, so it's a pretty big company.
That is so amazing. So you actually have a guys class.
Yes.
I love that.
Guys class. And I was telling them just the other night, I was like, wow, because I was like, I feel I need to start teaching class for the women because I feel like the guys have like gotten ahead of the women.
Yeah.
Because they've gotten so strong. And I'm teaching them more as I learn how they learn more. I'm taking more risks with getting them to. They do really well with real specific structure and counts. And sometimes when I choreograph, I don't rely so much on counts, and it's more about musicality and feeling. And that's a whole challenge, a different challenge for them. Whenever I go there with them and go in those kinds of directions with them.
Yeah, and, I also prefer not to use counts, so I can totally see that. But it is more about being aware of the entire space and all the other people. And
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, wow.
How to move as an ensemble, move as a group.
Yeah.
Which they get because of the ballet stuff and the jazz stuff. They get that in that context as well. But I give it to them in a different way. And it's I can see that it's making a difference. It gives them a greater awareness of even the stuff that they do really well.
Yeah, yeah. That is amazing. I love this thing. I love it. Do you have videos online?
I have to send you some links to, because they do have a YouTube page and a Facebook page.
Yeah. What is your can we find you on Facebook by Company D?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So everybody, go and look.
Company D Dance.
Company D Dance. Okay.
Yes.
And in Memphis, so everybody look Company D Dance in Memphis, and we can all like your Facebook page.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll see little excerpts of class and some of the performances. And there was a Nashville music artist who made a music video featuring some of the women in Company D. So they have a music video that's on the YouTube page as well.
Awesome. Great. So definitely we'll be Googling and YouTubing Company D dancers.
Yes.
So what do you think is the biggest thing that you have taken from this work that you do with diverse groups of people and non-dancers to your professional work? What is the biggest thing that you have taken?
Yeah, the biggest thing I would say
Of the
is
most important thing, the thing that you feel like you could not have gotten anywhere else.
right. You know, the how just how universal, and I know this might sound a bit cliche, but I'll just go ahead and do it first and then how universal the language of dance is. Regardless of ability to articulate in words. It's interesting because some of the company D dancers, some are more verbal than others. Because they're in terms of their abilities, some of them are extremely verbal and others can be verbal. But they have some real challenges there. But on a movement level, they can relate to what I'm doing. I can relate to them, and it's so fulfilling after a class when I feel like I've accomplished something with all of them. Similarly, with the work with playback, we use both language and movement. But again, I guess going back to that idea of the common threads that we have with people who seem to be very different, the realization of those common threads, I'm just all constantly reminded of how much alike we are than different. And that's, to me, it's like it's part the lack of realization of that idea or that notion is part of the problem why we have the racism, the segregation, the discrimination, et cetera. Because as a whole, I have to speak very broadly in this sense, as a whole, we don't, we're not as, well, for whatever reason, we don't seem to be as readily available to approach each other, regardless of differences, on the common, the things that we have in common, and those things that tie us together.